In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Brother Michael E. Cannon, and it's good for us to be here. Thank God we're here. Just another day that the Lord has blessed us and kept us. We're here by His power. Like the prophet Jeremiah says, it's of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. So we're thankful to be here on just another day to look into none other than the perfect law of liberty, as quoted by James, the Lord's brother, which is the Word of the Lord. Amen. That is the mirror, the Word of God. Amen. When we look in the mirror, we got to see God's Word in us. Amen. Thank God for that. So I'd like to thank God for all of my blog talk listeners, all of the Twitter listeners, all the Facebook friends and Twitter friends, and the blog talk friends and listeners, and the guests, you that are listening for the first time. We thank God for you also. Amen. Being able to get into the Word of God with us, and we thank God for that. And so we thank God that this year is coming to a close. We have one more broadcast before the year of 2011 is over. And we know that it's been, we're in the last days, and we've had tests and trials and very trying times. But we thank God that through it all, that we've been kept by the power of God. And we will also like to make sure that we give you our guest call-in number, and that is, it's 646-716-6566. 646-716-6566. Also, I'd like to remind you of one of my brothers, Elder Broderick Cannon. He also has a blog talk broadcast that is on Thursdays at 6 p.m., and his is called That's Book. Elder Broderick Cannon and his wife, Evangelist Joyce Cannon, their broadcast is called That's Book, and they come on Thursdays at the same time, 6 p.m., on Blog Talk Radio. So that's Book on Thursdays on Blog Talk Radio. So we thank God. Matter of fact, he was the one that that I found out about Blog Talk Radio initially was through my brother, Elder Broderick Cannon. So we thank God for him. So his broadcast is called That's Book. So on today, we're going to continue in the book of Galatians. Also, like to say, praise the Lord to my friends down in Florida, Evangelist Janice Brown and Elder James Towns and his wife that are visiting down in Orlando, Florida. Like to say praise the Lord to you and thank God for you. Amen. Thank God for Elder Towns and for all of your encouragement and your support over the years. So this time we're going to move on, and we know that we have been, for the last weeks or so, we have been in the book of Galatians. So today we're talking about liberty in Christ. We're in the fifth chapter of the book of Galatians. So we're talking about liberty, freedom, and about God's law, love, and also the fruit of the Spirit. So we thank God on today As those of you know, listen to this broadcast on a regular basis. We thank God that virtually all the time that we're able to have our historian with us, and he's able to be with us on today also, in the person of Elder Ryan Fountain. As I've said to you all from time to time, he is an educator, and he is our historian, and we thank God for him. So at this time, without any further ado, we're going to give you into the hands of our historian in the person of Elder Ryan Fountain.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Once again, it's a pleasure to be speaking on this broadcast, talking about the Word of God. It's a privilege and an honor to come and be able to speak on the Word of God and be able to expound on it and talk about it with biblical scholars such as Elder Cannon. And once again, I am appreciative of that. I thank God for that. It is a real blessing on this evening. Last week, we finished out the fourth chapter of Galatians, and just to recap, at the end of the chapter, Paul gave an allegory. That means a parallel story that goes right along with it. Two different timelines. He spoke of the allegory of Abraham's two sons, two eldest sons, the elder being Ishmael, who was born under the bondwoman or the concubine Hagar. He was some 14 years older than the son of promise, which was Isaac, who was born through the one where the promise was made, which was Sarah. God gave that promise before Abraham had Ishmael. He said that Sarah was the one to have the seed of promise go through. She was supposed to give birth to the seed of promise.
Yeah.
So, and speaking, this allegory speaks of not only that, but he compares it to the church and the law. The law was that which came before the church, or the period of grace which we are in now. So the law was compared to Ishmael, came before, and he was just a placeholder, so to speak. But all of the promises were not given into the law. It was just, as Paul called it, the schoolmaster to teach us how and give us examples on how to live.
Yeah.
But rather the sons of promise, or the what was likened unto Isaac, is indeed those that are under grace, which is the church of Jesus Christ. So we are not to have this. We don't have the same inheritance as Israel, those who are under the law. They have their own blessings. They have their own promises. But our promises are that much better. We have an inheritance. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ, and we will actually be in the throne, not just around the throne, not just in front of the throne, but we will be in the throne. Let's hold place right there. We'll come back to Galatians 5. Let's go to the book of the Revelation and look at this really quick. It's the book of the Revelation, chapter number 3 and verse number 21. Now, this is talking about the Laodicean church. This is the last church age. The charge against this church was that they were rich and increased with goods, worldly goods, and they thought that they had need of nothing. And they did not know that they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So he was pleading with this church to come back into their right minds and look unto that, the one that they put their trust into, rather than the deceit of riches and the love of money, which is the root of all evil.
Yes.
Money isn't the root of all evil. The root of money is, yeah, the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yes.
And we need to be cognizant of that, and we need to put our trust in the one whom our soul loveth. But looking down in verse number 21 of chapter 3 of the book of the Revelation, it says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne."
Yes.
Not just around the throne, not in front of the throne, but we are going to sit with him in the throne. Now, the throne is the place of judgment. The throne is the place where the king ruleth. So we are kings and priests, and we will rule with Christ. We will judge angels. We will judge the world. We are going to sit with him in judgment, because Jesus Christ will come back to this earth for 1,000 years and reign on the throne of David. But then after the 1,000 years, the millennial reign, the devil, who was cast into the bottomless pit, the devil was not cast into the lake of fire at Christ's second coming. The only ones that were cast into the lake of fire were the beast, which is the Antichrist, and the false prophet.
Yes.
They were cast into the lake of fire without judgment, because their judgment was already laid out. But Satan, the dragon, was placed into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years, but after that 1,000 years of total peace on earth, he is going to come back and deceive men once again and come back for one final battle. Not the Battle of Armageddon. Battle of Armageddon is not the final battle, but the battle that Satan is going to call after the millennial reign and come against God one last time, and he's going to be struck down. And after that, John says, "I saw a great white throne."
Yeah.
And him that judgeth, amen?
Yeah,
that is in the 20th chapter of Revelation. Mm-hmm. We don't really have time to go there, but we know that Jesus Christ is the one that's going to be sitting on that throne, judging men according to their works. Let's also go to St. John. I believe it's St. John, the 5th chapter. Yeah, St. John 5, and we will start at verse number 28. It says that, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can hear my own self do nothing, as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just." This is Jesus Christ talking right here.
Mm-hmm.
It, most people have red-letter Bibles. This is in red letters.
Mm-hmm.
"And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. I bear witness of myself, and my witness is true." But if we go further up in the text, he says, in verse number 21, he says, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but he committeth all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And they honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him." So this is not talking about two different persons right here.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit, the Father, has placed all judgment into the sonship, and has moved the office of the sonship so that the perfect man can judge against all mankind.
Yes.
That is the sonship. But then, according to the 15th chapter of Corinthians, there's going to be a day where he's going to lay, the sonship is going to lay down all power, that God may be all in all.
Yeah.
And that there will be no need for God to be in the sonship any longer. We will take over the sonship as the church, as the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
We don't really want to get into that tonight, but maybe another time we will delve back into those verses. We spoke on 1 Corinthians a while back.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can look back into those archived messages to hear that in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter.
Yeah, I just want to say, really, the chief offices of God, and for us to look at, is he was the prophet, he was the priest,
mm-hmm.
and he shall be the king.
Mm-hmm.
So he was the priest that ever liveth to make intercession. He's the priest right now that's ever living to make intercession. He was that prophet that even the woman at the well acknowledged, art thou a prophet? I perceive that thou art a prophet, she
mm-hmm.
said. So he shall be king, according to 1 Timothy 6 and 15, the writer says, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, king of kings and lord of lords, potentate, the only supreme ruler. So we can see that he's one.
Amen.
So that's the office that that he's in, that he's the prophet, he was the prophet, he is the priest, and he shall be the king.
And also, at the time when the great white throne, the judgment happens, it will fulfill the scripture that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord.
Yes.
And they're going to know that Jesus Christ was God coming to the flesh. The Father manifests himself into a human body, made himself a tabernacle, and dwelt in that tabernacle for 33 and a half years, let that tabernacle die, be crucified, but then raised that tabernacle back up on the third day. And he reigns as the king. Amen?
Yes, and then that's why we say when we come on, we use the, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the world still don't know him. And even now, when they're singing, this is so-called Christmas time, they say, joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her king. No. The king hasn't came yet.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to come at that time. The earth is going to receive her king. But that's why he said, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. So earth has not received her king yet. Everybody else is trying to be important.
Amen. So at this point, we'll go back into where we're intending on going this
yeah.
evening and go into the fifth chapter of Galatians.
Yes.
And it says, we'll start in the first verse, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. So don't chain yourself into bondage by going under the law. This is why we can't find ourselves going under things like serving Sabbath days
yeah.
and serving holy days and serving feasts. We can't go into those things. Those things are bondage. Those things were already fulfilled
yeah.
through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We have freedom. We have liberty in Christ.
Yeah.
He goes on to say, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. So if you wanted to partake in one portion of the law, you have to do the entire law to the T. And it's not... No one is able to do those things.
Yeah.
Every man has failed. David failed. Solomon failed. Every man that was under the law failed at some point in their life, and God had to give them grace to bring them back and restore them, and sometimes he did not restore them. But if you are trying to do one thing according to the law, you are in debt to the whole law. Now, this is what he's talking about again is these young men were preaching that you had to be circumcised in order to be saved. That was where, that is what he's saying. You're putting your faith in that circumcision rather than Jesus Christ. That means Jesus Christ profits you nothing if you put your faith in that circumcision.
Yeah.
So that is what he's talking about. He said, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised, we already read that, Christ has become of no effect to you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. The law can't justify anybody. That it was a
schoolmaster.
Yeah, what he's saying is a sarcastic statement. What he's saying that if you're justified by the law, then grace, you're falling from grace.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be justified by the law. That's what he's telling them. For we hope through the Spirit, the fifth verse, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. So whoever's preached this damnable doctrine unto you, he's gonna have the trouble. He's gonna have to bear your souls. That's why preaching is such a important and such a grave task for any man to take on, because what you are doing is you're taking people's souls and you're putting their burdens upon you, because you have to preach the truth to them and have to bear them and have to make sure that they are held up with the words that you speak unto them. You are either speaking life unto them or you are speaking death unto them. And if you're preaching something that is not the truth, you are most certainly preaching death unto them.
Yeah,
but even if you are preaching, if you're preaching the truth and they believe not, the death is on them. But you have to preach the truth. He says, preach the truth in season and out of season. You have to continue to preach how God has given it to you. Amen?
Amen.
This is going out to all preachers out there, everybody that calls himself a preacher or a teacher or some sort of minister. Whatever words you speak unto man, unto any man, you have to bear that. Amen?
Amen. And that's why Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, study is the operative word in that scripture, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. And he goes on to say, rightly dividing the word of truth. So as we have been admonished and from our fathers before us, this is the truth.
Amen.
When it's rightly divided.
Amen.
So it's got to be rightly divided.
So as we move on, it says, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would that ye were even cut off, which trouble you. I'm a little tongue-tied this evening. I would they were even cut off, which troubleth you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Because if you love thy neighbor, you are showing the love of God unto thy neighbor. That means you are loving God because you are keeping his commandments.
Yes.
Jesus Christ said the two greatest commandments were love the Lord thy God,
right,
and love thy neighbor even as thyself. Those are the two greatest commandments.
Yes.
All the law hangs in those commandments.
Yes.
If you show love unto one another, if you bear each other in love, and continue to show love no matter the downfalls of each other, no matter the shortcomings of each other, no matter the attitudes of one another, no matter how each one treats how the other person treats us, if you show love, you are showing the love of God unto that person. You are able to change that person. You are able to save that person if you simply show them love. Amen?
Yes. And again, we want to reiterate, should you desire to call in, if you have a question or a comment, you can call us at 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566.
Amen. So we have to love the brethren. We have to love our enemies. We have to show love unto those that don't even deserve love. And we have to show love to those who do deserve love.
Yeah.
We have to show love. That is a very key thing within the church. And I think a lot of people have missed that they don't really understand what showing love is to a person. Showing love is more than just saying I love you to somebody.
Yes.
You have to show them that you love them. You have to do things that are nice for them. You have to uphold them. You have to correct them when they're wrong. That's love also. If you really love somebody and you see that they're wrong, if you see that they are not in a position that they're supposed to be, you should be able to tell them, look, brother, you're not doing this right. I'm doing this out of love. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. You can actually kill one another. We can kill each other with the words that we speak to one another, with the way that we treat each other, with the way that we handle situations with our brethren. We can kill one another. And that is not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is not to kill the individuals within the church. The purpose of the church or the house of God is to give life unto one another.
Yes.
And we have to bear one another's burdens in love. As he goes on, he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. This we can also take this and make an allegory out of this with the two brothers, Jacob and Esau.
Yes.
Esau was a man after the flesh. He trusted in his flesh. He trusted in his thing. But Jacob trusted in the Spirit, trusted in the God that saved Abraham and his father Isaac, and was blessing him. So this is how, these two feuded with one another for many years. Jacob stole the, Esau gave up his birthright.
Right.
Jacob tricked him.
Yes.
And Esau willingly gave up his birthright because he could not truly trust in God. He trusted in his flesh, and he knew that he was hungry, so he took the soup that Jacob offered him and gave up his birthright.
Yeah.
And then Jacob also went in and tricked his father Isaac to give him the right-hand blessing.
Yeah.
And to bless him so that he would be blessed and that the seed would continue on through him. But Esau was wroth against Jacob after this, and Jacob had to flee the land.
Yeah.
So there's a continual struggle between the flesh and the Spirit.
Yeah.
And we have to be mindful that we have God on our side, and we have to pray earnestly. We have to continually pray. We have to be fervent in our prayer. We have to be mindful of the flesh, that the flesh isn't gone yet.
Yeah.
Even though we are technically dead to the flesh and we are born into the Spirit, the flesh isn't gone yet, and we have to constantly fight that flesh down. We have to constantly mortify our members that we may be in subjection unto the Spirit, subjection unto God.
Yeah.
So we have to be mindful of that thing, because there's still something inside of us that is contrary to what we want.
Yeah.
Paul says in the 7th chapter of Romans, that which I would, I do not, and that which I
hate, I do.
Yeah. So we constantly have a fight going on within our minds and within our members that we have to put into subjection the flesh and mortify that through the Spirit. We do that through prayer. We do that through fasting. We do that through the Word of God and studying. Amen?
Amen.
And reading the Word of God, we are able to get strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But how do you receive the joy of the Lord? That is something that I think the church has missed. They want to run around and have the joy and go around shouting and dancing and such. But what is the strength? What is the joy of the Lord that was spoken of? Well, let's go to that scripture real quick in Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. Nehemiah 8. And we will start at verse number 1. Once I find it. Chapter number 8, verse number 1, it says, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday before men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law." And we're going to skip on down to verse number 8. It says, "So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense." That's the key word.
Yes.
They not only read it, but they gave it the sense and gave the description and the context of what was written to the people and caused them to understand the reading. Because I got to be honest, some of that reading within the law can be kind of dense, and you have to really break that down to understand what is being said. And if you don't have somebody to give you the understanding, you're not going to understand it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And it goes on in verse number 9, and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, "This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." They could not live up to those words, what was being spoken. "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them who nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength."
Yes.
So we have to understand that the joy of the Lord is in the understanding of his word.
Yeah.
When the sense of his word is given, and we understand it, that's where the joy lies. The joy doesn't simply lie within shouting and dancing, although that is part of it.
Yes.
But when you have a testimony that God has given you through his word, then you have a reason to have joy.
Yeah.
And we have to have an understanding of what God has for us, and he lays that all out in his testament. So that is the joy of the Lord. That is where we have to gather our joy from. It's in this book
where we
gather our joy from. So, and so we cannot let the flesh overtake the spirit, but we have to be mindful of the Spirit and tune into the Spirit, and we have a direct connection through God in the Spirit through prayer, through praise, through worship. He comes down and breathes on us, and through the Word he speaks to us.
Yes. And I'm thinking here also, he's talking about the joy, and like we said, the Bible is truth when you rightly divide it. And so Jesus in the 15th chapter St. John, he was saying, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you.
Mm-hmm.
Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even though I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you,
mm-hmm.
and that your joy might be full.
Amen.
So look at that. Look at the correlation of those words.
And we have to understand that Jesus Christ is the fullness of his joy.
Yes.
He had the fullness of joy within him, according
yes.
to the 16th Psalm,
yes.
Right around the 11th verse.
Yes.
So we have to know that there is a struggle within us, and we have to let the Spirit have his way. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as we move on, it says in verse number 18 of chapter 5, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So all of these things were pointed out in the law, and they were despised in the law, and they were condemned in the law.
Yes.
But the law did not really make provisions for an everlasting covering for these things. There was a year-to-year offering that would cover and would help for a time, but
yes.
they were not everlasting. Amen?
Amen?
But Jesus Christ came to give an everlasting sacrifice that would cover our sins, our multitude of sins.
Yeah.
Amen. So as we move on, it says in verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The law doesn't speak against these things.
Right.
But it is actually for these things. This
yeah.
is what God wants to give unto us, but the law could not give this unto us.
Right.
Jesus Christ gave this unto us. He gave
Spirit.
Us peace.
Yes.
He gave us love. He gave us joy.
Yes.
He gave us the long-suffering and gentleness. We have our faith in him. He
yes.
has goodness within him.
Yes.
He has meekness on him. He had temperance. But he has all these things within his attributes within him, and we are in that body now, so he has given it unto us. He has imparted these things unto us through faith in him. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. What
yes.
we should be provoking each other to is love.
Yes.
And
good works.
Did we talk about that last week, about the forsaking of the assembling of ourselves, and how we are supposed to provoke each other unto love?
Yes, I think we did kind of touch on it.
This is in correlation with that. We should not
mm-hmm.
be provoking one another to hatred
no.
and provoking each other into envying, but we should be provoking one another unto love. We should love and try to one-up each other's love and continue to love each other and let love grow within us.
Yeah.
Whew.
I think we did kind of mention about it, because the time that we're living in, that we definitely need to be coming to the house of God, and we'll get instruction. We're going to be pointed to the Word of God.
Amen.
And the time that it is that we're living in, to seeing that the time is drawing nigh. That's what he's talking about.
Let's go on back to Hebrews 10
yeah.
and talk about it a little
24,
bit.
Yeah, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works.
Amen.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Amen. And it goes right along with this. If you do not assemble yourselves with those of like faith and with believers that believe such as you do, you are actually giving in to the flesh.
Yes.
Because I'm sorry, you if you do not show up to an assembly on every Sunday, flesh is involved for whatever the reason, whether it's you don't want to hear what the preacher has to say, what the word of God is coming forth, whether you don't want to deal with such and such's attitude, or whether you're just too tired from the evening before, flesh is playing a part in why you're not attending an assembly. Everybody should have an assembly. We are put into families like flocks. Amen.
Yes.
I believe that's the 107th Psalm, right around in there, that we have families that we are placed into, and we are not those that run around in a desolate place. We
right.
are not running around in a desert, but we have a flock that we should be with.
Right. Psalm 68 and verse 6 says, God setteth the solitary in families. He brings out those that are bound with chains,
yes.
but the rebellious dwell
yes.
in the dry
yes.
land. So it lets you know right there that the solitary, he brings them out. You're not by it. No man is an island. No man is by himself. But he sets us in families.
Amen. And then
107.
So go right along with that. It's the 107th Psalm. He says in the fourth verse, they wandered in the wilderness
yes.
in a solitary way. They
mm-hmm.
found no city to dwell in. But then as he goes on further, he says that, it says that, let them sacrifice of thanksgiving. Well, we'll have to come back. I have to look that back up again, and we'll have to come back to that. But he puts us in flocks. And
oh, yeah, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted, and they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distress.
Mm-hmm.
He led them forth by the right hand that they might go to a city of habitation, he goes on to say. Then,
well, it talks about, I'm sorry, verse number 41. He setteth
yes.
the poor on high from affliction
yes.
and maketh him families
like
a flock.
Yes.
So he puts us in families. He
yes.
places us in a place that we should be able to flock together and be together and be unified.
Yes.
And because the unity of sheep, that is a defense mechanism
yes.
against the enemy.
Yes.
The wolves, if a wolf tries to come into a flock that is packedly tight together, he will actually suffocate himself trying to get in the midst of the sheep.
Right.
Because their wool is so thick,
right.
he cannot really breathe within that flock, and he cannot take anybody out of that because the flock protects one another.
Right, right.
But if a sheep goes off by himself, he is easy prey.
Yes.
So we should be provoking one another unto love, not unto envying, and trying to drive somebody away.
Yes.
But we should rather be trying to draw them in as Christ drawed us in unto himself.
Right. And after all, we are a body.
Amen. And if the body envieth one another, if the body have strife within itself, then that's when afflictions and pain and distresses and disease is able to set itself into the body.
Yeah.
And the body cannot function properly when it is not at in unity or in harmony with one another. But if it's at variance, then it is really of no use.
Yeah.
Not of proper use. Amen.
Yeah.
And we have kind of brought variance within the body. And the body isn't able to operate as it should in this day and age.
Yeah.
So as we move on into chapter number 6, we might be able to finish this out on this evening. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, this is talking about restoration. This is a key scripture when teaching on restoration, that if any man be overtaken in a fault or overtaken in a sin or taking out of his proper anointed place and in a place that God does not ordain him to be in, that means you are in sin, you have transgressed against God. Ye which are spiritual, who are the ones that are spiritual? The elders of the church. Those are the ones that bring restoration unto the man. They are to bring restoration unto anybody that is in sin. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Now you can't, you have to, the key word there is meekness.
Yeah.
If you restore somebody but you have a proud heart and want them to grovel at your feet and want them to beg for mercy of you, then that's not the right spirit that you should be restoring them in.
Yeah.
You want them to submit unto you, but rather they should be submitting unto God, and
yes,
you are just the conduit of getting there. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
You are just the intermediary, the one that is stepping in the place of God in order for that person's repentance to go forth. We should not be looking to take repentance for ourselves, because we are actually putting ourselves in the place of God, and we are looking at that point.
Yeah.
But we have to be mindful that in meekness,
yeah,
we cannot be too high in our minds. We have to meek within spirit, amen?
Yeah.
He came in the spirit of meekness. He came in the spirit of a servant. He came in as a servant, not to be served, although he saw himself to be equal with God. Let's go to that scripture, Philippians 2. Excuse me. Philippians 2, verse number 5. Now, this is the mind that we should have, and this is especially the mind that somebody that is in the ministry, high up in the ministry, should have. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God," that means he was formed by God, he was the mold which man was made in, he was the image,
yeah,
of the invisible God. That means God made himself of an image and molded himself a body and placed all of him inside of that body, yet still didn't cease from being who he was.
Right.
Although he became, he never ceased from being that which he was. "Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." So he could have exalted himself. He could have came in and sat down on the throne of David and exalted himself and overthrown the Roman government when he came, overthrown the kingdom of Herod, overthrown anybody, overthrown the Pharisaical order, overthrown the Sadducean order, overthrown all of those different orders that had come up and claimed religious superiority.
Yeah.
He could have overthrown all of that and brought everybody into subjection. But that is not how he came, because he wanted to come humble,
yes,
that men could come unto him.
Yes.
He said he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So he humbled himself unto death so that he could be a sacrifice for us. He could have came in glory. He could have came as the second coming. He could have made the second coming the first coming.
Yeah.
But that is not how he came, because he loved man. He was mindful of man and wanted man to be restored back into the place which he fell out of.
Right.
And this is how we should be restoring those that are overtaken in fault. We should restore them in the spirit of meekness and not in the spirit of pride.
Right, and then he came lowly in Zechariah 9:9, you know, lowly riding upon the,
mm-hmm,
the coat, the foal of an ass. So he fulfilled prophecy when he came lowly the way that he did.
Amen.
So they missed it. The Jews as a whole nation, that's why he's got to restore the remnant. Amen. That's 144,000, 12 from every tribe.
Amen.
Not those are the only folks going to be saved.
The scripture in John, he says that he came unto his own and his own received him not, because they didn't know who he was.
Right.
They didn't recognize God coming in that form or fashion.
Yeah.
But he came unto them to restore them back in the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, because any man could be in the same place of a man that is overtaken in a fault.
That's right.
Any man could be overtaken in a fault. The only perfect man that came on this earth was Jesus Christ. Every other great man is able to be overtaken in a fault and be able to be thrown from their position of anointing.
Yeah. So that's why we have to watch and pray that you enter not into temptation.
Amen. So he says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Which a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Yes.
So we cannot be deceived. A lot of stuff that is being sold in this day, people forget about.
Yeah,
you could forget about all the soul that you seed, all the seed that you sowed 10, 15 years ago. But now, once it starts coming up, and you start reaping what you sowed, and the harvest isn't what you thought it was going to be,
mm-hmm.
people are not mindful of those things.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful and everything. But if we sow good things, and those things take 10, 15 years to come to fruition, we just have to be patient.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying to us right here, that we will reap in due season if we faint not.
Mm-hmm.
We can't be weak in our faith. We can't be weak in our strength. We have to continually build ourselves up in the joy of the Lord, because that is our strength.
Yeah.
Amen. So as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the households of faith. Let me read that scripture again.
Yeah.
As we have therefore the opportunity, let us do good unto some men.
All men.
Let us do good unto a few men.
All.
It says all men.
Yeah.
Good or evil, let's do good unto all men.
Yeah.
Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That is even even up and above what we should be doing good. We should be doing good unto all men, but we should be doing even more good unto those who are of the household of faith. That is a given. Amen.
Yeah.
So ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that ye may glory in your flesh, that you may show that I am somebody because I've been circumcised. I am somebody because I'm following after this law that these men have given.
Mm-hmm.
But we aren't supposed to be glorying in these types of things, because if you keep one thing of the law, you have to keep all of the law.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say, I don't eat pork because that is against the law, that is against the law of Moses, that is not true, because we are not under that law longer. We are under the law of Christ, which is to show love unto all men.
Mm-hmm.
But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature.
Yes.
We are new creatures in Christ.
Yes.
Circumcision doesn't matter. Uncircumcision doesn't matter. Black doesn't matter. White doesn't matter.
That's
rich
right.
doesn't matter. Poor doesn't matter. Whatever your socioeconomic class may be, that doesn't matter in Christ. What matters in Christ is that you are under grace and you are under mercy.
Yeah.
And you are under the spirit of liberty, that you may freely worship God in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. For from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be with your spirit. Amen. We have to let the Spirit of God coincide with our spirit,
yes.
that our soul may be saved. We have to diligently seek after him whom our soul loveth. We have to continually walk in him and walk in the truth that he has given us, and continue to let the truth grow inside of us, and continue to let grace grow over us. Amen.
Amen.
We have to continually grow within grace. We have to grow in our faith. We have to just grow up, saints.
Yes.
We can't just be walking around as babes and letting faults overtake us and hope that we could come back to repentance. We can't go around being saints on Sunday, and then when Monday comes around, we are weak in the faith, and we are going about doing things against God's law. We have to be saints every day of the week, and
yes.
we have to show our lights. We have to shine our lights unto the people who are out there in darkness. Because there's many out there who are in darkness and are looking for, they're looking for light. They are searching after light, and they want to be found. They want something in their lives. They know they are missing something.
Yeah.
But we as saints have to show that unto them. We have to shine the light of Christ, because
yeah.
Christ is inside of us. And we can only do that if we are walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh.
Yes. Yeah.
So on that note, we will close out. I don't know where exactly we're going to go next week. We may go into Ephesians. We may come up with something else in the meantime. But until that time, I'm going to close out. If Elder Cannon, if you have any words of closing to say.
Yeah, I think we will probably go into the book of Ephesians. So we're going to... get into the book of Ephesians, so it'd be real important. So we're just going to try to dissect as much as we can.
Amen.
To give understanding. And one of the key words in the first chapter is us.
Amen.
So stay tuned on next time. Amen. God willing, the last Wednesday in December, we will get into that book, which is so important of a book. That is the book of Ephesians.
Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. We hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.